All right, this is Centaur Views. My name is No Sense.
And this is Victoria.
This is a podcast where two Sagittarius people come together and give their opinionated views on cultural topics.
Disclaimer, you will be offended. Don't at me.
All right, so this week's show, Centaur Views, this is No Sense.
It's your girl, Victoria.
Should I go by, like, V now?
V? Why? For Vendetta?
Possibly.
No, I know a whole name, V. It doesn't associate well. She a dumb hoe, too.
Well, I'm a hoe, but I ain't a dumb hoe.
Exactly, so it doesn't associate well.
Okay.
All right, so this is No Sense and V. Remember us to listen to us on your favorite podcast app. We automatically are on Spotify and the Apple Store and Anchor. We also have our pages on Facebook and Instagram. And
that's it.
That's it.
Let's get into it.
All right, so first we're going to get into our 2 cents.
Okay, so my 2 cents this week and will forever be that I'm pro-black, pro-more, pro-African diaspora, pro-African descendant. So I'm rooting for everybody black. So it don't matter what these black people be doing except for harming a child. I'm with it. With the shits, with the nonsense, the foolery, the fuckery. I'm with it. I'm rooting for them. Mm-hmm. So, if you see some video circulating about and the black person acting all black and niggerish, I'm with it. I'm with them. I'm rooting for them. Because that's what I do. And specifically, I'm rooting for every black woman. Including our sister Candace Owens that needs to come to the congregation. She need to come back to the cookout and have to get her some old black friends. And just like we tried to offer an old black lady to hug Kanye, we need to get an old auntie to hug Candace Owens and tell her to put down the hot iron and let her edges get wet and come back on over to our side. So, yeah.
All right, that's your 2 cents. So,
I can't.
Yo, I hold everybody accountable for their own shit. So,
oh, yeah, y'all can add me on that one.
My 2 cents is the music that's coming out now. I find it hilarious because J. Cole is not very, he wasn't intelligent about what he put out. He put out a song that didn't need to be put out. And it's, for somebody who is as, we hold him in high regard, esteem in the hip hop community, it's sad, for one. But on the flip side, Little Baby, The Bigger Picture.
I like that song.
I'm not the biggest Little Baby fan. I mean, I don't
really don't care.
But just the thing that I respect about that song, mm-hmm, is the fact it's a line that he says where he knows that he has a voice. Mm. And for someone who is young, mm-hmm, and is very influential in the generation right underneath us to acknowledge that and knows that I can't just sit here and make the same type of music. The situation that's going on, I need to speak because I need people to know that I'm with them and them to join us and, you know, and stand up that I'm okay with being out in the streets. Like, this is the right thing to do, regardless of what, you know, whatever type of music I'm gonna do. This is what matters right now.
In this moment.
And I think for people who have a voice, it's something that you have to use, not just in times like this, but all the times. You always should acknowledge the fact that you have that power, because everybody doesn't. So I think I have to applaud him for being so young and being so self-aware about that, because he could just be like, nigga, I'm young, I don't give a fuck, you know, like, I make music to party with, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a lot of artists that do that, because they know it's not going to be money in that. So I do applaud him for that. So it's just, the music that's coming out now is going to be our soundtrack. I think it's good, but I think just like Lil Baby shocked us, we might get disappointed in some other artists.
See, I could have kept my 2 cents. I was originally going to talk about J. Cole and No Name, but yeah, I think I agree with you that I don't think that his song was needed right now.
He could have saved it for an album that came out.
He really could have. I have an issue with men telling women, and specifically black women, to watch your tone. I'm thinking about all the black women I know. We're loud. We are abrasive. We are we are colorful. We're passionate. And I take offense personally to somebody saying, and people be like, oh, no, he didn't say watch your tone. I don't know what did you hear. I didn't know. I read the lyrics. I don't know what you heard, but
yeah. And see, that's the thing. I haven't listened to the song. I read the lyrics.
Yeah, I read the lyrics.
So I'm taking it literally.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's what it is. Is people when they first listen to it, they're like, oh, the bars. But then when you actually pay attention to what he's saying, mm-hmm. it's like, wait a minute. And so that first day when it dropped, a lot of people were like on it. But then when you start picking up on what he was actually saying, we're like, wait a minute, this isn't the conversation we need to be having right now.
Specifically for men, for you normally say that when women bring up something about us as a community, we need to work on together as a community. A lot of men you see, especially in the public, I say that this ain't the time for that right now. We need to be working on this. And for him to come in and do the same thing, like if he had an issue with the way anybody spoke, then that's fine. But in this moment,
that's what I'm saying. It could have been an album if it was just a song out of many songs that touched on a bunch of different stuff. That I think it would have been okay. But the fact that you wanted to drop this in like, this climate,
yeah. And I've always for a while now I've been having issues with J. Cole, even with the False Prophets song, and because I believe that when we critique someone else, the reason why we can see it in somebody else is because we see it in ourselves. So when you're calling out somebody else for being a false prophet, for me, it looks like, okay, then you have to recognize how niggas be putting you way above, like you in the same category as Kendrick, and I don't, they're not the same. They don't rank the same in music, lyricism. Both of them are storytellers, but they also put you in a high esteem too. Mm-hmm. And how can you call somebody else out when you're literally the same person? Like it's you you're talking about. But yeah.
And I mean, and that's the thing, like we were talking earlier before the recording about separating people from the music. Mm. You know, what he's doing out there on the streets and protesting. Yeah. But when you put that out as an artist, it's like, wait a minute.
Especially the nigga that be going hard for Tekashi. Like, this nigga.
What?
You remember he's talking about he praying for Tekashi. Like, this is a Mexican nigga that loves to call black people niggas. And you telling the black woman to watch your motherfucking song, but you cool with Tekashi? I can't take you serious.
Okay, conversation over. We get to the next part of the show. All right, so show for this week, we decided that we're going to call this Black Lives Matter, The Lost Files. The reason being is because, you know, we had Breonna Taylor, but George Floyd, that impacted the movement more, and we need to realize that it's not just black men who are suffering injustices out here. It's black women as well, and they're getting it worse than we are. If you look at the case with George Floyd, all of the cops were arrested and charged. As we speak now, it's been 102 days since Breonna Taylor's incident.
102 days.
And there's only been one cop that was fired. No charges yet. So we decided that we wanted to put a show to spotlight some stories that we even didn't know about. But we assume that, you know, a lot of people didn't pay attention because of the fact that the media doesn't report everything to us. And like I said, it seems like men injustices get pushed out there further. So we're going to just share some stories with you. This is going to be a heavy episode.
Most definitely. If you want to, we can say each one of their names, and then we can expound on their stories, because a lot of these names I've heard, and a lot of these names I saw and read in passing, but I didn't know their stories. So yeah. First one, of course, we got to talk Breonna Taylor, Oluwatoyin Salu, Deborah Danner, Janet Wilson, Sandra Bland, Tanisha Anderson, Tamla Horsford, Dominique Clayton, Michelle Cossett, Rakia Boyd, Yvette Smith, Pamela Turner, Atiana Jefferson, Miriam Carey, Kanika Jenkins, Katira Jenkins, Natasha McKenna, Ayana Stanley Jones, Simone Marshall, Cherise Francis, India Kager, Betty Jones, Corinne Gaines, and Kendra James.
All right, so who do you want to discuss first?
I had a hard time. I can't lie. When you brought this topic up, I was like, don't know if I can do it. I really didn't know I could do it. I didn't want to just read the names off and just like, oh, okay, we got a list of names, just a list of names, and just read it off. I wanted to know their stories. I wanted to know how old they were. I wanted to know what happened to these people. And majority of these people were murdered, or were killed at the hands of the police. There are a few that, like Toya, her case, she wasn't killed by the police officer, any police, but her case prompt me to want to dig in further. She was 19 years old and an activist in Tallahassee, Florida, that recently died. Well, I should say murdered. There was a black guy, an African guy.
She was with Black Lives Matter. Right?
Yes, she was she was actually protesting for trans lives. It was a trans.
He said it was another girl as well.
Yeah, that was murdered. It was an older white lady too that he killed. It's just some of these people are my age. Some of these people haven't reached their potential, like Toyin and Kanika Jenkins. Like these are babies. It touched me. It was hard. It was difficult to read their stories. And then a lot of the times that I came across the articles that were posted on the internet, you had to read into the article and read several different articles to find out what was actually going on, because it made it seem like
it was justified.
It was justified.
And we had conversations.
We had several conversations. going back and forth. He was like, well, this is still happening. I was like, I wholeheartedly, when I, even on my two cents, when I say that I'm an advocate for black women specifically and especially, I am. I don't think that I feel as if you do a crime or do something that's against the law, there should be consequences. That's without question. Do I believe that any of these, do I believe that any of these people deserve to die because they were criminals? No, I don't. I have a cousin, she, Deborah Danner, in 2016, she was killed by police officers. She was 60. She's 66. She's actually my cousin. My grandmother and her are first cousins. In the Bronx, New York, she had schizophrenia, and apparently she was known to have episodes where she was violent and aggressive. So the police office was called, and some of the police officers, well, the police came to the house and tried to detain her, and she swung a bat at him, and they killed her.
She hit anybody with the bat?
I'm not sure.
You're saying you can't duck
and tase? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I don't. I get that being a police officer is a hard job.
But I'm just saying, if especially if she didn't hit somebody, mm-hmm. like if you dodge, mm-hmm. like why was shooting had to be? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if you hit, then of course I think at that point is if it was the officer that received the hit, that was out of anger. Mm. If you're another officer, if you see that she's swinging toward that, you can de-escalate that because, of course, if they're swinging at one person, that's where their attention is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was so many other ways you can work.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem I have with, like, even go back to our sister Candace Owens that needs some deliverance. She made it just with George Floyd's situation. She and Breonna Taylor both. They made it seem as if there was justified to kill them. It's like, oh, because he had a violent past. He was a violent criminal. We try to make him out of a martyr, and that's not the case. Even with Breonna Taylor, she made it seem like because Breonna's car was at a trap house. Let's be honest. Her car was seen at the trap house, and that warrant that they came in that they had, it was warranted for them to come in there shooting. And I don't agree with that. I don't think that that's the case. Go back to what you were saying last week about what do the police officers do. Like, if you are, I think that the whole policing should be abolished because you got, being black is complicated, period. And you think about the amount of trauma that we deal with on a daily basis, systematically, in our own communities, and the amount of shit just piles and piles up on us. We need our own special task force to deal with situations. I've seen niggas in my neighborhood drunk, out. My dad has been with this nigga drunk and out and raising fucking hell in the middle of the street. Nobody, we know what to do. Like, it was like, all right, go get who your people are. Call them. Let's get them home so you can sleep this shit off. You ain't got to do all that. You ain't got to carry on. I've seen, like, I've just heard stories about how Mexicans, they'll be pissy drunk and they'll fight each other. And then when the police come and be like, oh, this is my brother. Nah, we good. That's how we need to be in our hoods. Like, even I've had my grandmother's neighbor call the police on the niggas down the street because they out there playing and shooting the guns. Like, that's dumb, but smoking or smoking and drinking and being loud and being black.
They can kill themselves. Well, let's call the cops and kill them instead.
Right. Like, just tell them, like, y'all can hold it down. Like, people in here trying to rest or something. Like, I think it's other ways to de-escalate the situation. A lot of these women had mental health issues. Like, which one of the ladies we had a conversation on, Trey? And we was like, we had a disagreement at first, and then dang. Was it oh goodness, it's so many.
Corey and Gaines were killed in front of her 5-year-old son.
Okay.
With the she was on Facebook Live and they cut her Facebook Live off, and she was communicating with her
with the
dispatch. But the she was 23 and she was killed in her house in front of her 5-year-old son, all over a traffic violation. And this is why we had the discussion, is based off of just headlines. It shows that she pulled out a shotgun on a police officer, would not let them come into the house. They were in a standoff. And when he came in the house, when they finally bust the door down, the officer had a shotgun in his face, and so he shot. However, after researching and seeing what was said, full
story,
she had already been in custody prior and was traumatized. She lost twins.
Yeah, she had a miscarriage with twins after being in custody with the police.
And before. So she was abused. And she told this to the dispatcher. However,
to the negotiator at that.
Yeah, so at this point, you're trying to force a woman to go into some place where she's had a traumatic experience.
An abused woman, because her fiance that went, he had a warrant out for his arrest too for domestic violence.
That was against her.
Against her.
Okay.
So if I'm not mistaken, I do want to I would assume that it was against her. If she's been abused woman, speaking from somebody that's been abused herself physically, you can get traumatized I get traumatized by hearing loud. Like, as loud as I am, if somebody's speaking to me loudly in a tone, I immediately go to that same place where I was when I was being abused.
And so I think once I realized that she had communicated with someone of why, that's when I think the plan of action should have been changed. It shouldn't have been, we have to get into this house and arrest this lady. At that point, it should have, we have to, because at the end of the day, she wasn't going to, the
over a traffic.
That's what I'm saying. The punishment was not going to be that.
It
was not going to be that bad. It wasn't going to be years in prison. It wasn't going to be anything like that. So I think at that point, the officer, the negotiator, everyone should have backed off and said, okay, this is something that's deeper. We need to call in, get a social services worker, a social worker in here. Because
there
somebody.
Was a 4-year-old child also is still in the house.
Yeah. But this lady is not going to go without a fight because she's traumatic. Oh. She's suffering PTSD, basically. So I think that was... It was handled from the get-go because they wanted to do it then. You can't. Every case is different.
Tanisha Anderson was 37. She was also schizophrenic. Cleveland woman who was killed in police custody due to a physical restraint. She was actually slammed on the pavement by the police officer and died on that scene on November 13, 2014. Like, I'm 32.
So. And what's crazy is that's exactly the list that we have still has same thing, like similar things. If you look at Simone Marshall, she was 22. She died after she was having seizures while in police custody, and they didn't give her medical treatment. Cherise Francis was 30 in New York. She was suffocated during a schizophrenic episode. They pushed her face in the mattress and held her down until she stopped breathing. And
you think about even Sandra Bland's story where he pulled her over. Like, from her story is that they were flying past. He was flying up. I've done this on numerous occasions. Like, that's the scary part. I've done this on numerous occasions where the police are flying up behind you and you're just trying to, you don't know what the fuck you was going on. You already traumatized when you see the police. And you just get over. Like, let me get the fuck out of that way. And he pulled her over for that. And then get pissed off because she had a cigarette. And then this motherfucker dragged her out of the car, beat her off camera. You could see them tussle and hear the tussle. And she's hollering, like, and then they, the documentary, Say Her Name, is like, it haunts me. It haunts me. Her, you telling me that she killed herself in police custody when you got a trash can? Like, the whole purpose, I've been to jail one time. Just been the one time. And they took everything. And there is absolutely nothing in there, in that holding cell, that's gonna make you. Now, black people, we do a lot of things. And I'm not even gonna say black people don't kill themselves, because black people are now killing themselves, like, especially black women right now, are killing themselves at an alarming rate. And nobody talks about it. I'm not saying that she didn't kill herself, but it's hard to believe that she didn't with everything that was around. Why is there a trash can in the holding cell with trash bags in it? Why was she even arrested?
This is rhetorical because I don't have no answer.
it frustrates me. It pisses me the fuck off, because these women, and I'm not saying they saints, and I'm not saying that, like, we're exempt from consequences, but how the fuck? Pamela Turner was 44 in Texas, and she was shot after the struggle with cops, where she tried to use their taser.
And was shot 5 times. In response. And if it sounds like a similar story, because it is, Rashard Brooks
just murdered. His funeral was today, wasn't it? Or was it yesterday?
I don't know.
I think it was today. It was being aired today, earlier this morning.
There's too many people going in 2020. I can't keep up with everything.
It's scary.
We got Natasha McKenna, who was 37. Virginia, she died while she was tased 4 times while in police custody, all because she wasn't bending her legs to sit in a wheelchair. Like, that's a tantrum. You died over a tantrum. Like, that's not right.
Rekia Boyd was killed at 22 in Chicago by an off-duty police officer after he filed a noise complaint and confronted her and a group of friends.
Now, mind you, he was an off-duty cop. He filed the complaint and then confronted them. And it said that he asked for some weed or some drugs. And they said, if you don't get your crackhead ass away from... Like, you're provoking them.
Like,
you're trying to justify the killing. Mm-hmm. That's all you were doing. All of this, calling to file a complaint, confronting them, all of this was so you can have a reason to do it.
There was Dominique, 32, mother of four, in Oxford, Mississippi. She wasn't killed by the well, actually, I lie. She was apparently having an affair with this white police officer named Matthew Keene. Her body was found face down by her 8-year-old son in the bedroom dead. Like, I'm 32 and I have an 8-year-old son. And I date niggas. And I cried hard tears. She was like, she was in the bed with a gunshot to her head. That just happened last year. May 19, 2019. After that one, I couldn't really go. I couldn't really keep going after that. Like, I really couldn't read it. It's when I say scary. Scary is not even the word. It's petrifying. I'm petrified for my sons. And I'm petrified for my own safety. I'm petrified for my own safety. I remember that night when this black dude, I'm moving into my old apartment, my new apartment, and the black dude ran past me, and people told me not to be moving at night, and I'm like,
I gotta get my stuff in there.
This is the best time to move at night. Nobody's looking at you.
No, at night is when you move in the TV. Electronic shit.
Well, I was trying to move. I just was ready to move. And I was stressed out. So I was moving. And this dude ran past me. And I was like, well, that looks suspicious. And then I'm going back and forth because I've been drinking. So I'm already wrong. Like, I've already put myself in the situation. But the police officer, it was a car, like, to the top, at the top of the hill, right down from the apartment, and it was just sitting there, and I was, like, keeping my eye on it, like, I don't know what the fuck gonna pop off, even though I'm a little tipsy, I'm still alert, and then the blue lights came on, so I was like, oh, shit. I got in the car, and next thing you know, I was just sitting there, just waiting to see what the fuck was going on, because I was going to haul ass. It's like, I'm not even going to be sitting. I ain't even going to lie to you. I don't fuck with police like that. But I saw, the next thing you know, I see these police officers with assault, these big, heavy guns, and the dogs, and I fucking freaked out. I had my doors locked, and the police officers came to my window and was like, man, roll the window down. I said, no, sir. You not about to catch me? Nah, you not about to say I did nothing. There's no, if y'all, and then I called my cousin immediately, like, listen, bitch, stay on phone with me and to these motherfuckers. And then he was like, roll the window down. I'm like, no, no, sir, you can talk. I can hear you. And he was like, stay in your car. We're going to be looking around the premises. And I see the dogs and I see the police officer with the guns. And I'm like, I'm fucking freaking out. And my cousin, she was trying to calm me down. And I'm like, yo, I just want to go home. Like, why the fuck did I decide to come outside? I should have fucking listened to my hard ass head. And I sat there waiting for them, and then another police officer came to the window and asked me to roll the window down again. And I was like, no, sir. You're not about to, no. And he was like, I can't hear you. So I cracked the window down. About this big, this much. And I was like, huh? what do you say? He was like, we're finished looking over here. And I was like, well, can I go? He was like, yeah, but go this way. I haul ass. I ain't even locked the door.
They was trying to give you out, and you ain't trust them.
Hell, fucking no! I don't trust the police.
That's taught. They have a history to where we don't.
When I watched the Red Table Talk, and Angela Davis and Tamika Mallory was on there, and Angela Davis was talking about how the lynching was back in the days, and she was like, you have to remember that they also lynched women. One of the most excruciating sights that pictures that she saw was when they had hung a pregnant woman and they cut out the fetus of her body and killed the fetus also and had her hanging in a tree. I don't care how y'all try to pretty this shit up. That's our real history. And we're real life afraid of these motherfuckers. And they don't need to be policing us no more. And we need to take our own power back and police our own areas of residency. Or they need, when she explained the whole defunding the police, saying that you take the money that they obviously, all this surplus of millions of dollars that they're getting and allocating them to, the money to special units. I want to say special victims units. I'm going to say SVU. No, but they allocate the money to special units in the police officers to deal with situations that are beyond their I want to say jurisdiction, but beyond what they should be doing.
They're normal.
Yeah. Because there's no way that all of these, and there's so many more women, so many more black women have been killed by the police officers. So many black women have been killed that their names are not in the forefront. Breonna Taylor, like you said, her name is not even trending anymore on social media.
But that story kind of remind me, because yours could go either way. Yours could have went this way, though. Kendra James, who was 21, Portland police killed her. She was killed by shots from an officer who was trying to remove her from a car.
She was 21 years old, and it happened in 2003, May 5th, 2003.
Like, that's... You can't get out of the car, so I just kill you? Like, how did it escalate to that? To death?
There's so many other ways to... Like, I'm tired of seeing... Like, these white men go on mass murdering streaks. And somehow, with assault rifles... AK-47s and shit, and somehow they end up alive. Somehow. But these niggas ain't a threat. Black women with attitudes giving J. Cole are a threat. With smart mouths, slick fucking words, we're a threat.
I think police officer feels like a badge gives them so much more than authority to where they don't have to respect other people.
Shit, Janet Wilson was 31 and on January 27th and shot by the Detroit police officers 5 times for fleeing a traffic ticket. Nigga, I've run away from the police. Like, I'm doing like 50 in a residential area. Reckless.
Did you get caught after running?
Hell no.
Well, then
I'm just thinking though. I'm thinking like, nigga, I skirt peeled off on that motherfucker like, in a minute and had a suspended license. I can stay there now because my license is good and good standing. Lord, had a suspended license and I was speeding in the residential area. Skirt, skirt, my motherfucking ass was gone. You wouldn't. Excuse me. So when people be like, I don't understand why they don't stop and come and just obey what the officer said. Like, you know how many. I'm not going back to jail with no suspended license. Why did I'm still driving without a suspended license? Because I got shit to do. That's why. Like, I'm just saying.
Why are you trying to justify to me?
Not trying to justify you. Just anybody that's like, why? What, you should have a suspended license. You shouldn't be driving. Fuck that. They still give me a car. The car's still in my name. I got shit to do. And y'all suspend my license over some bogus shit. But that's neither here nor there.
That's neither here nor there. Rebel. Yeah. I think that, like, that social workers, just like mental health workers, instead of police officers, peace officers, what they want to call them. How are you going to be a peace officer? You know how intimidating that is when I roll up to my son's school and I see a quote-unquote peace officer in full uniform with guns and all this other shit, like, and they trying to give my kids high five. Walk around this motherfucker. I feel
like if you're a peace officer, you should be like a un-uniform. You should,
yes! You know this bitch got on... I don't care if she black or she's a black woman or not. She's in full uniform, gun on the side, handcuffs, everything. Like,
because just like they say, a picture speaks a thousand words. If you're dressed like that, I don't see peace.
I don't see peace.
I see somebody who just wants to keep things in line. They just
order.
Want things, yeah, it's order.
Like I my son, the officer trying to give him high five. Whoop. No, we don't do that. Fuck 12 over here. Like, we don't. My son, I ain't even had to say nothing. My baby is my baby. Because he look at it, look up, and kept walking. I was like, yes, son. Fuck 12. I ain't want to say that out loud. But I chuckled a little bit. Like, my kid. Oh, my goodness. But I think that just like mental health, social workers, psychiatrists, psychologists need to be inside the schools. They need to be out on the streets also. And just like, it's crazy to me that the police officers get these crazy budgets. They get new cars. You ever seen an auction where the police cars be, I'm like, what the fuck? You ever did that? Like, look on the auctions, like the state auctions, city, I don't know, state, I guess. Auctions for, like, cars. The old police cars and shit.
No.
Okay, I have. Because I was looking for a car for cheap. And I just wanted to pay one outright. And police cars, I wanted me a police charger so I can paint it all the way white and keep the light on it so I can fuck with them and fuck with other people. But I'm twisted. But, nonetheless, those cars, they get cars very often. They get new cars often, and they be dogging the shit out of
them. That's why they're getting cars in South Carolina when they set them ones on fire.
Yes! They be dogging the shit out of them cars. It's like, nigga, you ain't solving no crimes. You ain't solving no crimes. Like, why is this car so tow up? Like, our tax dollars are paying for this shit? That's why I'm not for it. I get that we need gun reform. But if the police got AK-47s, the hood need to have AK-47s. And y'all motherfuckers need to learn how to use it. I'm damn sure about to get me a gun. Because I'm out here in these streets. I think that they need to have people to de-escalate situations. To be on the scene. First responders. They should have a first responders for every area of the United States that we can allow. And come in and try to de-escalate a situation. And I get that certain situations just ain't gonna be de-escalated. I get that. But something got changed.
I feel like also with mental health now being as is being more people are looking at it as a viable reason of actions. It's not just something is wrong with the person. We need that if we're having a database of people going in jail, we need to have a database of this person has a, you know, their issues have an underlying cause. Mm-hmm. They're not just a violent person. Mm-hmm. They're a violent person, and we've known that they're a traumatized violent person. They're no, you know, because if someone suffers from PTSD, if you saw Just Mercy, right?
Mm-hmm.
where the man suffered from PTSD and he ended up building a bomb and killing a little white girl. Mm-hmm. And you didn't treat him as if he had PTSD. Like, when this stuff is known, you have to go in different. You can't use the same approach that you would as somebody who doesn't have underlying issues. That's the same thing with the COVID. People who don't have underlying health issues have to go. They don't have to move like people who do. They don't have to move like elderly people. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, is this system that we have is just set up as a one. It's like a one-stop shop where everything has to work, and it's not working at all.
It wasn't meant to work for us. You know, they were enslaved people catchers. Like the police were created to go and catch and fetch.
Keep us in line.
People that have escaped their plantations and wanted freedom. That's the history of the police officers. Have we gone through each of the names?
There are a few. There's one last one. Well, there's a couple that's still with. There was Atiana Jefferson, who was 28. She was shot by police while she was babysitting her nephew during a welfare check. They came to her sister's house, and she didn't know who they were, so she pulled out a gun, looked out the window.
I don't even think she got a gun.
I think she pulled out a gun. But they didn't announce. They didn't announce who they were, why they were there. They just went in the house shooting. No, and she was just worried about her and the baby's safety. And then the next one, there's a method to my madness, so why I'm going in this order. Mm-hmm. But Yvette Smith from Texas, she was 47. She was shot by police after opening a door for them. They said, "This is the police," and shot. Mm. She was actually the peacemaker in a domestic dispute. She called. Mm. By the time that they got there, one of the guys that was in the argument was already outside. It had done. The dispute had died down.
So she did her job.
Yeah.
She got killed.
And she ended up getting killed, even though she wasn't the person causing anything. She was the one that, if she was the police officer, she was the one that handled it.
Right.
And the reason why I said those was because the last few aren't so much fuck the police. Mm-hmm. These are simply injustices done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was, there one more. Ayanna Stanley Jones, who was 7 years old. She was asleep in her home in Detroit. And the cops did a home invasion. They shot her in the head. They put tear gas in there first, came in and shot her in the head. She was asleep.
She would have been in class of 2020.
Wow. So, how I am. I don't have kids, but that's what breaks my heart. Anything, any kid, doesn't matter if they're black, white.
Any injustice against a kid should be,
yeah,
resulted in.
But Katara Jenkins, she was a 1 year old. She was left in the car to die, by her newly adopted white father. He had another kid. And told his wife that he was in a hurry because he was going to be late for work. He took the other kid to daycare or school, mm-hmm. took the car back to the house, rolled up the windows in like 100-degree weather, and then went to work in another car. Which they already figured something was strange because going the way the schools were set up, he was backtracking to take her second to get there. And so when my wife went to pick her up, she called him and he said, "Oh, I must have forgotten to drop her off." During this time, the adoptive mother said that he was standoffish. At her 1-year-old, at the birthday party before, they had already signed the papers, but she noticed that he was distant. Like, he didn't seem like he wanted her. Mm-hmm. But she thought there was nothing that she could do because she already signed the papers.
What the fuck do you mean?
And that, like, you can't just say, "I don't want," like, you just,
According to Julius Roberts on, was that Julia Roberts? I believe that was Julia Roberts. Like, they go through. No, that wasn't Julia Roberts. That's the white lady off of.
I'm about Julia.
No, she got black kids too. That's why I said that.
Oh.
She's adopted black kids also. The white lady off of Sex and the City. I forget her name.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
No, it's the one with the dark hair. She said that they do this. It's extensive. Research and find out if you having a baby that's outside of your race, you're supposed to do all this other shit, and somebody didn't do their fucking job right. Because if that would be my main concern, if I'm trying to place a child that's outside of somebody else's race in another person's home, like, would culturally, would that work? Do they want the kid? And of course, you can see the mother, but I don't know. That's horrible. That's fucking horrible. That's fucking horrible.
And this next one, the first time you performed poetry, I did a poem, a piece about this.
Kamika Jenkins?
Yep. You remember?
Yeah.
She was at a party. She was 19 in Chicago at a party. It's alleged that she was raped. She was set up by her friends for $200.
Mm-hmm.
And there's video of her in the hotel where she was obviously drunk. Mm-hmm. She was also under a medication for was it ADHD or schizophrenia. It was a medication, but being drunk, adding alcohol to the medication, it made both worse. She ended up she died in the freezer in the hotel, which was a walk-in freezer. It's been stated there was no way she could have opened the freezer. You needed a hotel key, so you had to be a staff. And she was also too small to have opened the freezer door. But they basically said that it was an accident. In the videos that you can hear, some people say that it's been doctored, but they're saying that you can hear her saying, help me," and then the music gets louder.
The reason why I encourage you to keep their names is because, like I said, there's not any national coverage, reoccurring coverage of black women dying. They go missing. Not even just black women, also indigenous women, because there's a lot of stories now. Like, I remember on the Breakfast Club where a lot of these girls Native American indigenous reservations are going missing, and nobody's talking about it. And even though in this show we wanted to highlight majority of police killings, especially in the wake of George Floyd's murder, Breonna Taylor's murder, and Rashard
Brooks
murder, I feel like it's important that we highlight the lives that were lost.
But I do feel like we wanted to share those stories because, in essence, we're all, Ahmaud Arbery is still being talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Trayvon Martin will never be forgotten. That was our generation's Emmett Till. And the fact that he looked so much like Barack,
It's eerie.
Yeah.
And the fact that Dave Chappelle did a show just recently and he didn't mention any woman's name, and that's, and I get the part with it, like your point of view is like he related to these. I relate to these women,
and that's why when I came to you with this idea for this show, it was because when I went over that with you of why, because of the emotions are still high, is I wanted to put a spotlight on the fact that this needs to be discussed. We need to pay attention that as black men, yes, we do face a world that doesn't like us, but it's a whole different ball game when you face a world that not only doesn't like you, but they just ignore you. And so it's hard for us to put ourselves in their place.
I really appreciate you saying that. I really do. More than you ever know.
And I'm a feminist. Even though I'm a man, I'm a feminist.
Yeah, we got our moments. You got your moments. But for the most part,
For the most part, I respect my queens as much as I respect my kings. So, this show, as important as it was to you, it was just very important to me. I'm actually trying to work on a challenge right now, to where I can start posting, just different black women that I know and just showing them love. And, you know, cause you don't know what someone hasn't been told, and you don't know, we see it now that you don't know what the next day may bring for somebody. So I think we need to let our black women know that we love them. The world may not love them, but we as black men, we have to. They're our sisters. They're our mothers. They're our aunts. They're our grandmothers. They're our daughters. Like, we need to love them.
Yeah, I just think, I agree with everything you just said. I think that, like I said, black love is complicated. It's complex. It's layered. And we have, of course, there is great injustices between that's being done to our black men and our black boys. At the same time, at the very same time, women are being killed by police. Also, you got to think about how women in the prison systems are being handcuffed when they're being pregnant and having labor. Like, being labor already is fucking excruciating sometimes. And to be handcuffed to a bed while you're having a baby and not even being able to hold your child, not having the proper feminine products in prisons. They also are getting raped in prisons by the guards and by other inmates. Like, it's just everything that happens to a man happens to a woman as well. And I just want to be clear on that. Like, and as long as I got breath in my body, I'm going to make sure that these women's names are being uplifted. And we're going to know their stories and their names.
And I wanted to end on one that we both, I think with me and you, we agree on a lot with it. But it was the case with India Kager. She was a 29-year-old woman in Virginia. She was shot in a police crossfire where her boyfriend got involved. Also in the car was her child, who luckily did not get hurt during the crossfire. My biggest issue with this is the reason that the police were behind them, that were following them, is because of him. He had already been to jail for violent crimes, and they had gotten a tip that he was going to commit another violent crime. So they were casing him. Once he saw the police, he shot first. And in this world, knowing how trigger happy the police are, I feel like as a black man, you shouldn't put your wife, you shouldn't put your queen, and whether that's your child or not, you shouldn't put them in danger because you don't want to get caught. So yeah, she should not have been shot by the police, but I feel like he put her in that situation. And so I blame him. Because we're not, that's gang mentality. In the mafia, in the streets, you leave kids and women out of it. Like, take your L. Like, you should have got stopped, got questioned. Whatever you had to do, take that loss so your woman can live another day. Do that. Like, the world is already hard enough on us. It's going to be hard on her if he went away because she got to raise him. But now that baby don't have nobody to raise him. And so that one really made me upset. Because that was on us. That was on the man.
I agree that it was on him. And also agree. Well, I agree that it was all on him. And I also wanted to put like an amendment on the if it wasn't for the systematic racism and there are gonna be niggas gonna be niggas. Of course, and they're gonna be niggas, but a lot of the things that the poverty, if you end poverty in the black community, a lot of the senseless and dumb shit that they do would end too.
The root of all evil is not money, it's the lack of money.
The lack of money, agree. We can end on that one. Y'all stay safe out there.
Yeah, y'all stay tuned. We got the spotlight coming up. We got a little bit something to celebrate in the next few minutes for y'all. So we're not going to end on a downer. But thank y'all for listening to this part of the show, man. All right, so now we're going to jump into the Sagittarius spotlight. And who is our spotlight on this week?
So our spotlight is, we did find a Sagittarius activist. Ooh, he is a man, though. He's a black man, though. He fine. His name is Mark Lamont Hill. Lamont, he got a real name there. Mark Lamont Hill was born in Philadelphia on December 17, 1978, and he is in his 40s. He is an academic, he's an author, an activist, and a TV personality. He got my attention when he got fired from CNN for saying, he said that, he was talking about Israel. I didn't want to, of course he's a Sagittarius and got fired for saying some shit. Like, he gonna say some shit that ain't nobody else is gonna say.
That's why we will never be on syndication.
Nigga. What? Say what now? Duh. I should know this, but, he said, we must advocate and promote nonviolence, but we cannot endorse a narrow politics of responsibility that shames Palestinians for refusing to do nothing in the face of violent state violence and ethnic cleansing. He also said that free Palestine from the river to the sea. So, you know, the Jewish networks wouldn't having that. Like, nigga, what? Since then, he does shows on BET. He was a graduate of Temple University and the University of Pennsylvania. He has books. He's written books. His latest book came out in 2017 called Gentrifier. He also has a book that's coming out in 2021 called this Except for Palestine, The Limits of Progressive Politics. I like him. Yeah, he's cool. Spotlight. He also did a recent I keep saying he did a recent live with Jeff from BET, and they were talking about men, what do black men need to do better in this world. Should definitely follow him. His name is at Mark Lamont Hill on Instagram and on Twitter.
All right, shout out to the king, man. City going crazy. Top five, no debating. Top five. All right, so we're going to jump right into our top five. Our discussion for this week is the top five women activists. And for both of us, there is really no order. As you've come to find out during the shows, we don't really have.
It's a sad thing.
Yeah, we don't like to say who's the best. But I'm going to go first this time.
Number five.
I mean, the whole show is about ladies, so I feel like I should be able to speak about the ladies first.
Speak on, brother.
But the reason the first person is actually not a black woman, but I just think she's so important to the history of feminism, and that's Eleanor Roosevelt. She was actually the first lady to take on responsibilities beyond merely hosting and entertaining in the White House. And she also was working for women's equality and rights before there was even a word feminism, before she was even the first lady. So it's not like she, you know, was taking something that she, you know, I'm the president's wife, I can do. She was already out doing this. She was controversial at the time, the things that she talked about. And she was actually the first U.S. delegate to the United Nations. And she was the first chair of the UN Commission on Human Rights and also chaired JFK's President's Commission on the Status of Women to promote equality and advise on women's issues. So even though she's not black, just as far as women's policies and issues, she was a big person, a big advocate for that. So that's why I put her on my list. Mm-hmm. Who you got?
Oh, we're going back and forth?
Yeah.
I knew. I was introduced to this person. She's a current activist, actually. Her name is Tamika Mallory. Tamika impressed the shit out of me when she did this powerful speech after George Floyd and I believe Breonna Taylor was murdered. She is an advocate. She started being an advocate after her son's father was murdered, and she's been doing this for like 15 years, I believe now. She's just awesome. She doesn't hold her tongue. She has been canceled. If you ain't been canceled in this day and age, you ain't about shit. And she's a freedom fighter. She is from Harlem. She so you know she got some spice, right? Her speech was like, we learn violence from you. We learn all these things that they claim that we are. We learned it from them because our people are historically are godly people, are of God people. And yes, we have our wrongdoings and everything, but a lot of the stuff that they claim that we do is because of the system that they've created. And sis rocking with the women's she was women's movement, I should say, not union, but women's movement. She's an organizer. She's the one on the streets right now. And if you want to know what's going on the streets and the people on the streets and how they're feeling, you should definitely follow her. Mm-hmm. Beyonce just shouted her out in her new song, Black Parade. Oh. Who's your next person?
I got Coretta Scott King. And I wanted to give her props because it's kind of a theme that we are on this episode that the women kind of get in the shadow. So we always think of Martin Luther King, of course, being assassinated, really went into his, you know, his legacy. But she's also did a lot of work for civil rights, and a lot of her life was devoted to women's equality. She helped founded the NOW, which is the National Organization for Women, in 1966. Playing a key role into their development. And she also was the first woman to deliver the Class Day address at Harvard. When you think about what type of school that is very significant. Not only being the first woman, but the first, but being that she was Black as well. And like I said, just we have to remember that she also stand alone on her own credentials. Mm-hmm. Besides just being Dr. Martin Luther King's wife.
Should have beat his ass for cheating on him, but that's neither here nor there.
We're not going to do that.
Me next?
Yeah.
So I got Erica Ford is my next person. She's also a current activist. Erica, her story is very phenomenal. I learned about her through following Lauren London. And she has this organization called Life Camp Incorporated, and it is based in New York. She has this big orange bus that's called a peace bus, and what she does is she acts as a first, well, we were talking about how we should be police, she acts as a first responder in the neighborhoods in New York. They'll drive with, they have this big camper that's orange and it's called a peace bus. It will go, if there's a situation going on, it will go there themselves. These women will go there themselves and infiltrate and figure out what's going on to de-escalate the situation. She has, one of her methods is that she takes victims, like the moms and girlfriends and the wives of victims that have been killed in the streets, and she has them talk to men and women that's still running the streets and try to get them to understand that the streets don't love you.
Yeah.
And that gun violence is it doesn't just affect you, it affects everybody in the family on both sides. Like, she was also on the Red Table Talk last week, I believe. And she's doing good work. And I wish that her concept is, I would hope her concept is replicated in different cities in America. And I don't know. Should we start a peace bus? I want me a camper anyway.
Okay, so my next person.
Why you gotta shoot my, just be so damn dismissive.
So my next person is Maya Angelou. And I feel just being both of us are poets, she is an inspiration to a lot of the people that we work with in the poetry scene, spoken word. But she inspired women as well as all African Americans to overcome gender and race discrimination. And just, still I rise, bro. That work right there. But
phenomenal woman.
Yes.
Phenomenally.
She did very much encompasses the fact that words have power. Mm-hmm. And in 2011, she was actually awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom for her works. And so she devoted her life to this. She got 50 honorary degrees.
Damn. I didn't know that.
Yes. Ooh, that right there is the queen that she lived every day appreciated, bro.
Wow. That's awesome. I did not know that. She was, I love her work. I love, love, love her work. I even want her Still I Rise tattooed on me. From the toe all the way up my body, like, I'm dead ass. I really do want the whole poem to wrap around my leg, and that's a huge leg, but that leg and my huge thigh, and wrap all the way up, and because it's a lot of words, but I love her. My next person is Nina Simone, and I guess she wasn't on the grounds. She wasn't, like Maya wasn't, she wasn't the actual person on the grounds protesting and everything, but her music, she was an activist through her music. And she, I remember hearing for the first time Mississippi Goddamn. Like, at that time, nobody was talking about what was going on in the country through music, and she was a pioneer by making that song. And it was like, God, like, everybody see what the fuck is going on. God damn, like, what the fuck are we going, like, why y'all pretending like what's going on ain't going on? And just I love music. Music is the, if my soul had a sound, it would be to a tune. Like, and hearing that and just a powerful message like that, I wanted to make sure that people consider her an activist. And her my favorite quote of hers is, I tell you what fear is. Fear is, no, I tell you what, oh God, what is this fucking quote? No fear quote. I tell you what, freedom is. Freedom is a feeling, you know, feeling. Freedom, just like, you know, love is a feeling. It's not an actual thing. Freedom is no fear. And when I started learning about, as an adult, learning about the injustices was happening, especially after the Trayvon Martin and Eric Garner's murder and Mike Brown's murder, I saw that clip of her being interviewed, and for being a brown-skinned woman, dark-skinned woman, and knowing that her aesthetics wasn't picture perfect, and just having so much confidence in herself. Like, she was actually, she studied to be a concert pianist, and she ended up changing her music, and then started singing like the blues and stuff. And she's just so powerful. They did her wrong with Zoe Saldana. They casted Zoe for her, and they did her wrong, but she's worth being celebrated. Go ahead.
So I have Patrice Cullors. She is the co-founder of Black Lives Matter. She started because she was fueled by the death of Trayvon Martin in 2012. And so she started this Black Lives Matter movement, which is pretty much the largest civil rights movement since the 60s and the 70s. And we all know how big they are, it's a hashtag right now. And it has been for the past, 5 years? Is that? Mm-hmm. It's almost a way of life. She also is an outspoken advocate for Black and queer women, and she's been awarded the Sydney Peace Prize and been named the NAACP History Maker. My list has a lot of older people, but I mean, we still got people out here today.
That are making moves.
Yeah.
My next person is Asata Shakur. Now, some people want to call her a terrorist, and she is still on the FBI most wanted list. However, I want to say she's a motherfucking G. She shouldn't be. Right now, she's been, stowed away. What happened was in 1973,
She was stopped by a New Jersey state trooper named James Harper, allegedly for driving with the faulty rear lights. In the car with her, she was a Black Liberation. She was a part of the Black Liberation Army. And she was in the car with two other fellow members. A second patrol car with a state trooper, Warner Forrester, had pulled up on them. And after a few minutes after they pulled them over, one of the other members of the Black Liberation Army and the officer was killed. Now, Asata was shot and wounded, but she was convicted of one murder charge and six assault charges and sentenced to life in prison. However, she had no gun residue on her. None at all. None of the evidence pointed that she was actually holding the gun or she had shot the gun. So she bounced. She bounced to Cuba. Obama, the Senate wanted to extradite her back from Cuba when Obama was in office, when we agreed to actually trade with Cuba again. Obama was like, nah.
Yeah, ain't about to make me do that.
Nah. Nah.
Michelle ain't about to yell at me every night.
Nah. Right now, I think she's in her 70s right now. She is 72. Gangster. Even though she ain't killed them people. Bounce.
So, I think we both shared. We had one person that, even when we came up with the list, mm-hmm. we both like named her. So we just gonna do it together. But that's Angela Davis.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say civil rights activist. You can't say Black woman activist. Without saying that name, Angela Davis. What resonates a lot with me, is her effort that she put into having people be proud of how they look,
mm-hmm.
having women be proud of their hair, having people be proud of their full lips, their skin color. Like, no, what you see on that TV, on that magazine, that's not beauty. What we have is beauty. And just those sound bites that she had describing that, just that resonate to me personally.
Mm-hmm.
So just like I said, she's just one person where you don't have to be in it to know who she is. She's just that important to the movement.
I remember, what stood out for me that she was a part of the Black Panther Party and the Communist Party. And I remember, reading that she, I believe, got fired for, she was a professor at UCLA and was fired because of her ties with the Communist Party and the Black Panther. She served 18 months in jail before her acquittal in 1972 she was charged in aiding and abetting the escape attempt for the imprisoned Black radical George Jackson. As she should have been. Not should have been charged, but she should have been helping her brother out. She grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. The thing that people always say, like, is it happened so long ago. She's still alive. She was born in 1944. And still alive and still talking with Nikki Giovanni. And I love Nikki Giovanni. And why she wasn't on my list? There's so many other women.
Only pick five. That's the thing. And that's why we don't pick a best. Because we already have to pick five on our list.
Right.
And when it's stuff that we're passionate about like this, it's a lot harder.
Yeah, we didn't mention your cousin.
Yeah, but you posted about her on Facebook today.
I did.
And I don't know, I guess because with me and my family, it's something that is instilled with us. So I don't. But she was part of the boycott movement, inequality with that.
Yeah, you think my Ella Baker, even in South Carolina, Majeska Simpkins, you got Mary McLeod Bethune, we have Audre Lorde, Bell Hooks, like it's so many, Fannie Lou Hamer, like so many black women like leading the movements that don't get as much recognition as men and even women that are not black. Like Eleanor Roosevelt.
Why do you do that? Why did you even do that?
Because I couldn't think of nobody else in the moment. I didn't do it. It wasn't but, shade. It's just like my mind went blank. No,
but this is my thing. Like, without Eleanor Roosevelt, you think, you know, you had to have someone start somewhere. And Michelle did it better, trust me.
Literally, my mind went blank. wasn't just no shade. I promise it wasn't shade. Cause I know. Y'all know me. If you know me, you know that I'm focused on my black people. I don't see color outside of black. I'm going to use that shit on them. Let me stop.
But we're going to end this like we always end it, man. Love each other, man.
Love yourselves. Love yourself. Spread love.
God is love. We're godly people. So just be yourself.
Okay, we just saying shit now.
We tired. It's been a deep, heavy show, man.
Thank y'all for listening, man. Off recording. Yep. Let's end this.
We hope y'all learned some things and gave y'all some insight.
And take care of each other.
And please continue the discussion. Continue to show appreciation for the black female form. Just be safe out there, man. Change the world.
Believe in yourselves. Dream. Try. Do good.
Don't you mean do well?
No, I mean do good. Do good.